The Torah prohibits three different types of insects, shiratzim. Torah prohibits sheretz hamayim, an insect that swims in the rivers, means that it doesn't have any fish that doesn't have fins or scales. All insects don't have fins and scales, so they will all be sheretz hamayim. A sheretz ha'of, anything that flies around, that's not a kosher bird, any bird or anything that any insect that flies that doesn't have the simani tara of kosher birds is sheretz ha'of. And sheretz ha'aretz, any insect that grows on the ground that doesn't have malagera mafris parsa is considered the sheretz ha'aretz. So all these insects are prohibited. Obviously, only such insects are forbidden which are visible. Any microorganism which is not visible to the naked eye cannot possibly be included in the Torah prohibition. This does not mean that if I have soup that's full of bugs or worms, or if I have vegetables that are full of worms and I close my eyes and I don't see them, that I'm permitted to eat these worms. You don't say whatever you don't see is kosher. What we mean to say is that if the insect is not visible to the naked eye, then it's not prohibited. Sometimes you'll have an insect which is not really visible to the naked eye, but when it starts to move, then you can see this. You can see something moving. So Rashi, in his commentary on the Gemara Erevin, explains that this is forbidden. The word sheretz comes from the word sheretz. If an insect is visible when it's moving, when it's running, so this too is considered visible to the naked eye. Sometimes you'll have a black spot on a leafy vegetable, a black spot on a fruit or something, which to the naked eye is visible. You see a black spot, but it cannot be identified as a bug. It just looks like a black spot. You can only identify it if you use a magnifying glass, and then you'll be able to see the wings and the legs and so on. So this is a discussion in Poskim. Is this considered visible or invisible? The Pashtus is, the most common, the most sensible approach should be that which is quoted by the Sefer Shmir Shabbos Kehochasa in the name of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, that even though the black spot is visible to the naked eye, but if it cannot be identified as a bug, as an insect, so then it cannot be that this should be forbidden. In the Shmir Shabbos Kehochasa, Rabbi Neuwirth quotes that Rav Shlomo Zalman said that this is mutter, but he heard that in the home of the Chazon Ish, they would be careful, they would be makbid on this as well. So some quote this page from the Shmir Shabbos Kehochasa. Rav Shlomo Zalman said that it's aser. The Pashtus is that the reverse is true. Rav Shlomo Zalman said it's mutter, and respectfully said that in the home of the Chazon Ish, they were careful not to eat it. But he meant to say that it doesn't make any sense to him. So he didn't want to say it does make sense. He mentioned their opinion. But the Pashtus is that it's certainly mutter. This is why it's said over the name of Rav Chaim Oizer from Vilna as well. And the Pashtus should certainly be like that. If one has very sharp eyes and he is able to see bugs that the average person is unable to see, so the Pashtus is that this is considered an invisible insect, and even the one who has the sharp eyes is also permitted to eat it. The Pashtus is that visibility depends on Adam Beinoni, on the average person with the good eyesight. But we're not talking about people who have poor eyesight. But if the average person would not be able to see this bug, he would be able to see it, but he wouldn't be able to identify it as a bug. Just because you have a person who has a very sharp eyesight, that doesn't make it that the bug should be offered to that person. Just as a mashal amad of a daima, one day in shul after davening, a man approached me and he asked me to look at his tefillin. He asked me, are his tefillin square? The tefillin have to be meruboim, and otherwise they're not kosher. So I looked at it, and to me it looked like it was square. Then I took a piece of paper out of my pocket, and I saw, I measured the length and I measured the width. I didn't use a measuring instrument, any precision. I just took a piece of paper. And the simple pashto seemed to indicate that the tefillin was square. So I told him, I think his tefillin are square, they're kosher. So he tells me that he's a dentist, and he's so used to making fillings, tiny little fillings, that his eye became attuned to measuring tiny little measurements. And to him, he notices that his tefillin are not square, and every day it bothers him when he puts on tefillin, takes it off. He always sees right away, it jumps up to his eye, he sees right away that his tefillin are not square. So I told him I don't think that this is a problem. Since the average person has a normal eyesight, does not recognize that his tefillin are not square, even though he can detect it, I don't think that that's a problem. So I thought the same was true over here. Since the average person would not be able to see these insects, so even though one with a very sharp eye can see them, I would assume that this should be mutter. The Pashto says that it should be mutter. Now the question is, am I obligated to be concerned whenever I eat a fruit or a vegetable? I know that there are always some insects on foods that are visible. Am I obligated always to be concerned that maybe there's a bug on the fruits or the vegetables and I always have to wash everything off in advance? Why shouldn't I say hol chamacher harov? Since the majority of the cases when 51% is a rov, if more than 51% of the time when you're eating a vegetable, you're not going to be swallowing a bug. So I should say that I should not be obligated to check the vegetables to see if there are any bugs or not. So this is the famous rule that's developed by the Ramban based on different passages in the Gemara, that whenever you have a miut hamotzei, whenever you have you have a rov, that the odds are more than 51% that you're not going to be eating a non-kosher item. But if there's a miut hamotzei, there's a significant minority possibility that you're going to be eating a non-kosher thing. So then there's an obligation to check midirabbanan. That's the reason why we check for shatnas also. Even if one were to ascertain that the overwhelming majority of suits that one would purchase in the store would not have any shatnas in them, but if there's a miut hamotzei, if there's a significant minority possibility that I'll be wearing a suit with shatnas, I'll be violating an avera, so then the din requires midirabbanan that you should check to see whether your garment has shatnas or not. Now, what percentage likelihood constitutes a miut hamotzei that requires bedikah? So the Mishkanes Yankev has a tshuva where he writes, he thinks, he shows from a Gemara, he thinks that it's a 10% likelihood. If you have less than 10% chance that there's going to be shatnas in your garment, or less than 10% chance that there's going to be a bug in the vegetables that you're going to eat, so then you're not obligated to check even with the Rabbanon. If it's more than 10% chance, then the Ramban would say, and that's the accepted opinion of Shulchan Aruch, that there is an obligation to check because of the fact that you have a miut hamotzei. Some are of the opinion in disagreement with the Mishkanes Yankiv that miut hamotzei should really be if it's 7.5%. But I think it's usually assumed that the shear for miut hamotzei is 10%. So there are different types of vegetables that grow in different countries at different seasons of the year. And then there are different washing processes. Some of the companies who package lettuce or who package spinach and these vegetables, etc., some of them have a very good cleansing system whereby after they've cleaned it off and we check later on to see what's a normal portion in one meal, so we know that it's a mere chain of matzui that we'll be eating a bug. So then one would not be, in such a situation, one would not be obligated to check. But if you have a fruit or a vegetable where you establish that there is a miut hamotzei, there's a 10% chance or more that you'll be eating a bug, then the din requires midirabbanan that you have to do bedikah to make sure that you're not eating any bug. The question is, though, even if there would be a 10% chance that I'll be swallowing a bug, but if it's very hard to detect that there's a bug over here, so shouldn't I consider this a taruvus, a mixture of kosher and non-kosher food? The whole vegetable is kosher, and the little bug or the little insect is non-kosher. So I have more than 60 units against the non-kosher units. So why not say that this little bug is batel b'shishim? So in Shulchan Aruch it says that bitl b'shishim only applies when you have a taruvus. A taruvus means when you have a rov heter and a miut of iser, and the iser is not niker. But if you can identify the iser, so then by definition, this is not considered a taruvus. So here also, if you look carefully on top of a light box, you'll inspect the fruits or vegetables very carefully, wash it off. Then you'll be able to identify where the bug is, be able to notice the bug. So this, by definition, is not considered a taruvus. Just because you're going to close your eyes, that's not called a taruvus. Sometimes we'll have a situation where it's very, very difficult to identify where the bug is. If you'll spend a lot of time and you look very carefully, then you'll be able to identify here is the insect and the rest is heter. Some poskim are of the opinion that this constitutes a tarubis. Even if you really work hard, you'll be able to identify the iser. But because it's so difficult, that's considered a tarubis. Why not say in such a case that the insect should be bottled b'shishim? So the poskim point out that we have a din in the Gemara, which is assumed to be a din mid'rabbanan, that bari lo b'teilu afilu b'elef. If you have an insect that's also many other examples of bari in the Gemara, so even if you have a situation of bitl b'shishim, mid'rabbanan, we say that this will not be bottled. So then, however, the din states that Shulchan Aruch says, based on a thesis, that it only has the status of a bari if the entire insect is intact. If the insect was chopped in half or something, or the insect is missing a leg or a horn or something or an antenna, so then this would not be considered a barrier. But you don't know whether it's missing anything. You have to be concerned that if there's a 10% chance that there will be an insect, so why should you assume that it's going to be a broken insect? One should assume it's going to be intact. So then in Shulchan Aruch they have the following discussion. What happens if I have a vegetable soup? I cooked all the vegetables together, and the likelihood, there is a good possibility, 50-50 chance, that there may be that there are no insects at all. And even if there is an insect, there is a reasonable chance that because of the fact that I cooked it and I stirred while I was cooking for a while, so the insects that may possibly be there are no longer intact and they no longer have the status of a barrier. So in Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Tshuvas HaRashba, who distinguishes as follows. If the whole concern for insects is only because you have a miut hamotzi, which requires bedika mid'rabbanan, miut hamotzi means above 10% chance that I'll be eating an insect, so then since the whole chayvus min haTorah, I have a right to assume that I'm not eating an insect. I have a right to go, the odds are 9-1. That there's no insect here. So since the whole obligation to be concerned is only with the Rabbanon, so then I have the right to say, Safik the Rabbanon Lukula. Since by cooking the vegetable soup and stirring it, there is a possibility, a 50-50 chance, that maybe the insect that may be there, that I may be eating, was broken, was smashed, so then, and then no longer has a status of barrier. So then I have the right to say that maybe there's no insect, and even if there is, maybe it's bottle bereif. Because the whole din of burial abitel is only with the rabbanon. But if I have an infestation, there's a concern that there may be close to 50% likelihood that I'm going to be eating a bug, not just more than 10% or more. If it's something close to 50%, so that's called huchsuk b'taloim. So if I have a vegetable that's muchsuk b'taloim, close to 50% chance that in a normal portion I'll be eating. I'll be swallowing an insect, so then even if we stirred the soup while we were cooking it, and there's a 50-50 chance that the possible insect that's there was broken, it's no longer a barrier, so this is not sufficient grounds to be makel. So this is the policy of the OU in determining when to give a hashgacha on which vegetables and when not to, based on these principles of miut hamotzui and the like.